Blog Talk Radio.
How can I, your servant, talk to you, Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. You are the vine, God, and we are the branches. You washed and guarded every breath I took. Emmanuel, our God, was with us, leading God us through your word, breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup.
Hello, this is Nancy Baxter welcoming you to this episode of Let's Talk. This radio program is especially for Christian women, and we invite you to invite your friends to listen to our program and to share in our Bible studies. We have a great time here and we're just thrilled that you're with us. We've got a great show for you today. We'll finish lesson 7 in our Bible study guide on the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We have one more lesson in this series, but you can still listen to these lessons through the on-demand feature of our Blog Talk Radio site. And these lessons will be archived for a few more weeks now, so you still have time to order your study guide from our website and study with us. Once the programs are removed from the Blog Talk Radio archives, you'll be able to purchase these lessons from our website, houseofjoyministries.com. And we ask you to consider doing that so you can stay current with your Bible study and just study with us. We have a number of studies on that website, and you're bound to find something that you'll enjoy. Let's take a break, and when we come back, I'll have a brief devotional message for you, and then we'll get on with the rest of our show. Our special guest today is David Shockey of Freedom Ministries. David's been with us before, and I know that you'll enjoy hearing him again. We'll take a break now, and we'll be right back.
Bible Quiz Olympics, an exciting fellowship study program for young people. Designed for grades 1 through 12, Bible Quiz Olympics is a great way to learn Bible facts and teach students how to study the Bible. And Bible Quiz Olympics is fun. Each semester closes in competition between Quiz Olympics teams. Students compete in Bible trivia and challenging games. It's tons of fun. Go to houseofjoyministries.com for more information. Bible Quiz Olympics. Because everybody's a winner who studies God's Word.
You're listening to Let's Talk Radio for Women, a presentation of House of Joy Ministries. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Blog Talk Radio. This devotional message comes from my book, In the Garden. And the title of this devotional is Glory is His Name. In the first chapter of the book of Galatians, we read in Paul's own words the account of his early Christian life. The members of the Judean churches knew Paul only by reputation, and of his Christian experience, they only knew that he who persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. We find that in Galatians 1:23. This must have come as quite a surprise to the Christian community. Paul was seemingly an impossible case. He was as unreachable for the cause of Christ as the leader of a large cult would be for us today. The early Christians recognized the power of God, and in Galatians 1:24, Paul tells us, "They glorified God in me." They glorified God. What a wonderful testimony. Because of this one man's experience, others found a cause to glorify God. Can you say this about your life? Can you say, because of me, others glorify God? When confronted with this question, most of us would say, but I'm a nobody. I have no special talent or ability. I'm not rich. I don't have a lot of money to give to the cause of Christ. I really don't know how anyone could see glory in my life. We have all said things similar to this at one time or another. But let us learn from the Master himself how wrong this attitude is. Now I ask you ladies to go to Matthew chapter 25 and read verses 14 through 30. These verses tell the story of three servants. These men had no money of their own. They were not smart businessmen. They were not known for their creativity. They were servants. Their master gave each of them some money, or talents, to keep for him while he was away. To one man he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Why he didn't give them all the same, we can only guess. Perhaps it was because he knew his servants well, and not wanting to waste his talents or waste his money, he gave them what he knew they could handle. When the master returned, the servant to whom he had given 5 talents had used them wisely and doubled his money. The servant to whom he had given 2 talents had also doubled his money. The servant to whom he had given 1 talent had hidden it in the dirt and only had what the master had given to him. To the first 2 servants who had invested in the master's name for his honor, the master said, "Well done. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now note, the master said the same thing to both servants. The servant with the 5 talents didn't receive a greater blessing than the servant with the 2 talents. What happened to the 3rd servant who had hidden his money? The master stripped the talent from him and cast him into outer darkness. This may seem harsh, but the talent belonged to the master. He had only invested it in the servant. Being wise, the master knew that keeping an unprofitable servant would only cost him more. God has made an investment in you. Did you ever stop to think about that? God has passed out talents to all of us, and they are precious to him. He has made an investment in us. Now you say, "Oh, but I could never sing or teach or speak in front of people. I just can't. Really, there's nothing I can do." You know, it may be that singing, teaching, or speaking are not the talents God has given to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're told each member of the body has a distinct function, each as important as the other. Almost everyone wants to sing, but we can't all be fantastic singers. Even as important as singing is to the cause of Christ, is it the most important gift? All the gifts work together for the good of the body. There's not a most important gift. They're all important. Every woman knows in her heart of something she can do that feels natural, something she does just a little better than something else. Think for a minute. What may this be? Maybe you're a natural-born organizer. Maybe you can handle children well, and maybe you can scrub a floor right up there with the best of them. Whatever it is, this is your talent. Why not cultivate it? God has invested in you. Why not take the talent he has given you and invest it for his honor and glory? Notice again the blessing that the first 2 servants in our story received. The master said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Also notice what the master said to the 3rd servant. In so many words, the master told him, "Man, even if you had not wanted to do anything with the money, if you had only put it in the bank, I would have gotten it back and also a little interest with it. But instead you hid it from the world. Now give me back the talent I gave you and leave. You're a disappointment to me." Imagine hearing this from God. If we're not striving to do our best, to make sacrifices, and to use the talent He has given us, we may end up hearing the same thing. To the first two men, the Master said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's the statement most of us would like to hear from God. And then, like Paul, we'll be able to say, "They glorified God in me." Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Have you always wanted to memorize scripture, but just didn't know where to start? Nancy Baxter's book, Hid in My Heart, will not only get you started, but will guide you through an entire year of memorizing scripture. Hid in My Heart gives you 365 verses and a system to learn a verse each day, each week, or even each month. No matter which method you choose, you are memorizing scripture. Memory work is not just for kids. Hid in My Heart, available now at houseofjoyministries.com.
You're listening to Let's Talk Radio for Women, a presentation of House of Joy Ministries. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Our special guest today is David Shockey. David's part of a unique, non-traditional ministry, but I'll let him tell you about that. David, it's good to have you with us.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
David, tell us just a little bit about your background. First of all, tell us what your ministry is about, and then we want you to tell us about your background and what's brought you to this, to where you are right now.
Well, I'm involved in a prison ministry, and I currently go to all the prisons in Arkansas, two in Texas and one in Mississippi, and I minister through one-on-one ministry, worship services, and Bible study. I currently do the FBI Faith Bible Institute in two of our prisons in Arkansas.
There's no end to the number of prisons and the number of inmates that you reach, or that the potential to reach, I don't guess. You do quite a bit of traveling, I know, hundreds of miles a month.
Yes, ma'am, I do. I go to all the prisons in Arkansas, two in Texas, one in Mississippi, and wherever the Lord opens up a door.
Very worthwhile ministry, and I've heard your reports, and it's truly fascinating and a blessing to hear those reports.
Well, thank you. I just thank God for the opportunity to be able to share His word with those men and women who are incarcerated.
Oh, we appreciate you, David. Well, tell us, what got you into this? What brought you to where you are right now?
Well, I grew up in a good home, but it was not a Christian home. But I had, you know, everything I needed was provided for me. I was taught right from wrong. But at about the age of 12 or 13, I allowed peer pressure to take over my life, and I got involved with drugs and alcohol, and I did that for about 12 or 13 years. And I had a good job, but my habit was to where I couldn't support that with my job, so I resorted to other things. I ended up, while under the influence of drugs and alcohol, robbing a store and assaulting the clerk, and I got arrested. And about 3 weeks after my arrest, I was living with my parents, and I went to the funeral of a young man who had died. And I just went out of respect for him and his family, but the Lord had other plans that day. And as I went to that service, it was a graveside service, and the youth pastor got up to sing songs, and I had a funny feeling inside I'd never felt before. I know now it was the Holy Spirit dealing with me. But the pastor got up and shared a short message about three different ways you can live your life: your way, peer pressure, or God's way. And I thought, well, I've tried two of these ways, and my life's nothing but a mess. But he gave his name and phone number, said, "Anybody wants to talk to me, feel free to call." So I went home, and all afternoon all I could think about was what he had said. So I called him up, told him that I'd been at that service, and I heard what he said, and I needed to talk to him. And see, he asked where I lived, and he goes, "Well, tonight's our church visitation." He goes, "Give me about 30 minutes, and I'll be there." And he pulled up in my parents' driveway, and this is how God works. I told him, I said, "I need Jesus." So he opened up his Bible and shared what we know as the Roman Road, explained the Bible to me, and said, "I'm going to lead you in a prayer." He goes, "But it's not necessarily the words, but you got to be sincere in your heart." So he led me in a prayer. I was on a Thursday night. I accepted the Lord into my life. And on Sunday, I went to his church and made a public profession of my faith, and got baptized that night and got involved in that church for about 4 to 6 months before I went to prison.
Oh, that's a tremendous story, David. We just don't ever think of the Lord working that way. I've been to funerals and where people will say, we want this funeral to glorify God, but you never really expect someone to be saved there at a funeral, especially in a situation like you're talking about. And I think that's just wonderful. That's amazing. So after about 4 or 6 months, you did go to prison.
Yes, I got sentenced to 25 years in prison. I ended up doing 12 and a half years before I got out. And it was during my time in prison that men and women that had been in prison that was coming back telling what God had done in their life, that the Lord started laying that burden on my heart to come back into prison. And so once I got out of prison in 1999, about 2 or 3 months after I got out, I went back in for the first time to share God's word, and I've been doing it ever since.
Oh, that's wonderful. How did you feel to walk back in there?
It was not easy. The first few times I went back in, I actually cried because I knew once that service was over with that I was going home, but I knew what those inmates were going to face once they went back to their living area.
So is prison really as bad as we think it is?
In some aspects, yes.
Well, the Lord does some wonderful things.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know, we're all sinners.
Yes, ma'am.
We're all sinners, and none of us are any better than anybody else, and we all need Jesus. So you were saved just before you went to prison.
Yes, ma'am, approximately 6 months before I went.
So being a new Christian and then having to go into prison, where did you find spiritual guidance and encouragement for your Christian life at that time?
Well, through God's Word and also through the chapel program. Every unit I was at, I got involved in the chapel program. I was involved in any church service, Bible study that was teaching the truth of God's Word. I got involved.
So after you were released from prison, you found a church and you became active.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us about that.
Well, the Lord has led me to a wonderful church, Center Fork, and they're real supportive of my ministry and what I do, and I just thank God for their support and willingness to help in any way they can.
And not long after you came to the Center Fork Baptist Church, you met someone special there.
Yes, I did. I met my wife, Toni, and I thank God for her and her willingness to go in and help me in the prison ministry any way she can.
I know Toni ministers to some women inmates and is very active. And I know that means a lot to you that she's taken that on and
yes,
become a part of that.
Yes, she currently does a Bible study on Sunday mornings with the women at the Tucker unit who are in the boot camp program. And she has about 6 or 7
mm-hmm.
that participate on a regular basis.
Well, that's wonderful. I want to tell our audience that when you and Toni were married, I was one of your wedding attendants.
Yes, ma'am.
I like to tell everybody that I was your best man.
Yes.
That was special to me, and it meant a lot to me that you asked me to do that.
Well, we appreciate you and your husband and what y'all do.
Well, we appreciate you, David, and Toni as well. So tell us about today. We've already said that you travel hundreds of miles each month visiting the prisons. Can you tell us a little bit more about from the time you walk in the door and what it's like and some of the inmates, without mentioning their names, of course, but some of the inmates that you've had the privilege to witness to and to minister to?
Well, when I go in, I'm real receptive. Most of those men and the women, when I go to the women's unit, know that I've been where they are, so they know that I can relate to where they are and what they've been through. And I think having been there, it helps me to be able to minister in a way that other people might not be able to do so.
I know you've taken some of your fellow church members with you. And
yes.
What's their reaction?
Well, at first, they're kind of nervous and not knowing what to expect. But once they get there and they see that those men and women are no different than anybody else, that they're just somebody that's made a mistake. And I've even had some of them, when we leave, ask when we're going back. So I just thank God for their willingness to be able to go back in with me.
Oh, yeah. Now, you have to have some credentials to be able to do this, don't you? Tell us what's necessary for you to do this.
Well, in order for me to do it, I went through the training that the Department of Correction has, and I'm a volunteer chaplain with the Arkansas Department of Corrections, and I'm also a certified volunteer with the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. And I've just gone through the training they offer, and that just makes it a lot easier to go into the prison and minister without having to do all the paperwork that's mm-hmm. necessary, because everybody that goes into the prison system has to go through an NCIC check.
So it's not just something you do on a spur of the moment. You have to...
Yes, you have to plan ahead.
You have to plan ahead.
Yes, ma'am.
And you've given up your full-time job. You worked full-time and did this on the side, and it just became where you couldn't do both things.
Yes, ma'am.
And so now you've gone full-time into the ministry.
Yes.
But you have to eat. You have to pay your light bill. How do you get your support for this?
Well, my home church, Center Fork, they're a big supporter of this ministry. And I also have approximately five or six other churches, and I have some individuals that support this ministry monthly.
So if any of our listeners wanted to send you financial support, or maybe a church would like to hear you speak, or maybe a youth group would like to hear you, how would they get in touch with you, and how would they send their financial support to you?
Well, they could call me. My number is 501-276-8183. Or they could email me at david89440@aol.com. Or they can write me at P.O. Box 3375, Hot Springs, Arkansas, 71914. And if they want to send support, they can send it to Center Fork Baptist Church at 1101 Southmore Road in Hot Springs.
Okay, and that's 71913.
Yes.
And we'll put those addresses and that contact information on our website. That website is houseofjoyministries.com, and anyone can go there and get that contact information. Would you give us your email address again?
It's David, that's lowercase, 89440@aol.com.
Okay, and that will be a good contact
yes.
method. Well, David, it's nice to have you, nice to visit with you, and we wish you the best, and we pray for you on a regular basis, and you're just a tremendous blessing to us, and I know our listeners are going to find your story fascinated, and we just wish you the best in all things.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and share this with your listeners.
Well, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Bible Quiz Olympics, an exciting fellowship study program for young people. Designed for grades 1 through 12, Bible Quiz Olympics is a great way to learn Bible facts and teach students how to study the Bible. And Bible Quiz Olympics is fun. Each semester closes in competition between Quiz Olympics teams. Students compete in Bible trivia and challenging games. It's tons of fun. Go to houseofjoyministries.com for more information. Bible Quiz Olympics. Because everybody's a winner who studies God's Word.
Welcome back for the conclusion of Lesson 7 in our study of Paul's epistles to the Thessalonians. Question 11, verse 11. Helen, what has already happened that God sends strong delusion to some?
I wrote, they are not saved. 11 says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
And that connects there to verse 10. And verse 10 says, the last half of verse 10 says, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, there's some who believe that God has predestined some to go to heaven, some to go to hell. And this may be one verse they want to use. But you have to take that verse in context. You can't just take verse 11 and say, well, see, there's God sends them strong delusion. But it says in verse 10 that they have already rejected the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It says they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know, God didn't just wake up today and decide what was going to happen. He didn't wake up today and say, well, what's going on in the world today? These people he knows that they have already rejected him. They have made their final decision. There is no chance. Because God knows that, not because God made it that way. He just knows that. He will go ahead and send them strong delusion because they have already rejected the truth. And in reality, they are, we've all heard the term dead men walking. They are dead men walking. At this point, the saved have been taken out, and now God is dealing with those who, as verse 12 says, had pleasure in unrighteousness. What will those believe? Linda, the ones to whom God sends strong delusion, what will they believe?
Well, they're going to believe the lies of Satan.
Yeah.
It's like we've been talking about the division in our country. You know, we've taken God out of everything, and people say there's no real truth, that truth is really what anybody wants to believe truth is. Well, that is a lie. That's a lie straight from hell.
It is.
Another one.
Yeah.
And that's what people are going to believe, just like they're, just exactly what's happening today in our world. It's just going to become more and more obvious, because as the end draws nearer, I believe there'll be a deep division between light and darkness.
Mm-hmm. And this delusion that we're talking about is sent for one reason, and that reason is that they might be damned. And we've said they've had a free choice, they've already rejected Christ, they've made their final decision. And all of this, the strong delusion and everything else we've talked about, hell, brimstone, all of it, is what God has warned us about since the beginning of time. We cannot say that we didn't know.
Right.
Question 13. Those who do not believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness will be judged. Consider the term pleasure in unrighteousness, and we're asked to write our thoughts. What comes to your mind when you consider those who have pleasure in unrighteousness? Helen, would you want to tackle that one?
Sure. I'm not sure when you wrote that question exactly what you're looking for, but I'll tell you, the thing that first came to my mind was those people, and I hear a lot of this, people that say, peace, love, live and let live, there's no right and wrong, let's just be happy together, and let each other do their own thing, and let them find their own way. And
there's a song that a very famous person wrote, this song, and he's almost worshipped as the grand poobah of music. Imagine there was no heaven. And because it goes on to say, because we'd all be on equal ground, we wouldn't be scrambling and fighting and all. It would just be peace if there was no heaven. When I think the first thing that comes to my mind is those who have pleasure in unrighteousness. We see coming out of Hollywood, and Hollywood's very powerful politically. They have a very powerful lobby, lots of money coming out of Hollywood. And they make these movies, and they don't care if your six-year-old kid watches it. They don't care if your 13-year-old kid plays a video game and can't distinguish fantasy from the real world and takes the guns and goes out and kills somebody. Mm-hmm. They don't care because they're making money. Christian people will go to those movies and pay. If those movies were not making money, they could not make them.
Right.
And we pay for these sickos to destroy our children.
We certainly do. That's a great point.
Absolutely, and it's terrifying.
And I'm guilty, too.
Oh, I've watched movies that I know.
Well, we all have, and we get caught up in that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize what we're actually doing. I also thought of corrupt business people, corrupt politicians. They sell out their own mother for their greed, for power. They're all around us. Just because somebody can make a good speech and look good doesn't mean that they're righteous Christian people.
Right.
Well, how many times in our world has somebody risen up to power and seemed so charismatic and so perfect and had everything together, and we've seen the fruit of that, and the fruit of that has not been good. And that's a simplistic way of putting
mm-hmm.
it, but.
Well, look at our sports figures. There's so many that people have looked up to, and you know, oh, they're the best boxer, the best football player, and then you find out, well, you know, they got there through steroids or.
And what is it about being the best boxer and the best football player that makes us want to worship that person? And in fact, some of our young people and not so young people do worship those athletes. What is it? You know, you could go to church on Sunday morning and there's a church full of men who's a better role model for your children than what you're going to see on TV.
Right.
Absolutely.
But yet, you know, maybe those men aren't as muscular, they're not as good looking, they're not as charismatic, and so we don't dare want our kids to associate with them. We're going to stay home and watch the Super Bowl because they're going to see a real hero on TV. I mean, we just... You know, Christians need to step back and think of a few things. I used to tell my kids when they wouldn't pay attention to what I said, I'd say, open your eyes and look. And when they wouldn't do what I would tell them to do, when they were very small, I'd say, are your ears dirty? And a couple of times I made them go wash their ears because there has to be a problem. Linda, would you read verse 13, and then we're going to read some other verses and answer this question. Would you go ahead and read verse 13 for us?
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Helen, can you read John 1 through 14?
Sure. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Oh, wow. That scripture, that's just one of my favorite passages. That is so powerful.
It sure is.
And 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So, Linda, when did God institute the plan of salvation? In the beginning. Before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That alone is pretty awesome.
Whom did God predestinate to be conformed to his image? And we're given Romans 8:29. Do you have that, Helen? Do you have that handy?
Yes, 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. For whom he did foreknow.
Does that mean he just picked out some?
No.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean, Linda?
Well, he says that he formed us in the womb. So I have to assume that means everyone. I think we have a choice. He's given us what we call free will. So we all have the opportunity to be with him. It's our choice.
Okay, and he knows.
He knows. Oh, sure he knows.
And he knows, and he knows what choice we're going to make. And when we make that choice, what he has predestinated is that we will be conformed to his image. That's the predestination part. Those who make that choice will be conformed to his image.
Mm-hmm.
Helen, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:13, salvation comes through what two things?
2:13 says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth." So the two things are sanctification of the Spirit and believing in the truth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it mean to be sanctified of the Spirit?
Well, in verse 14 it says the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus.
Uh-huh.
So through the gospel.
Mm-hmm. The obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus. That is sanctification, becoming more and more and more like Jesus. That's the process of sanctification. Linda, in light of the truths Paul has shared with this church, what are they to do in spite of the persecution they are facing? And we're given verse 15 for that answer.
It says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle." So they're to continue trusting and serving God.
Okay.
They're to hold on to what they've been taught.
Mm-hmm. Would that be a good advice for us today?
Sure. Yes. Would. Especially after we've been talking about all of this deception and lies, and we've got to stay very close to what we know is the truth.
You know, Arkansas has been the brunt of a lot of jokes through the years, and I don't really know where that comes from. I consider this God's country. don't get me started on
idea.
That. Don't get me started on that. But years ago, our legislature established the creation rights. I don't remember what it was, but it was a law that creationism had to be taught along with other theories, or maybe I should reword that. Creationism had to be taught along with theories, such as the theory of evolution. And that was overturned. Wasn't law very long. It was overturned. Well, a few years after that, I saw one of our congressmen interviewed on a national TV show. And this host said, he said, "I mean that creationism thing, that made you people look ignorant."
Mm-hmm.
And we are so afraid that we're going to look ignorant that we will fall for that lie called the theory of evolution. Because that's what smart people think.
Right.
Well, it's not true, obviously.
Well, even the smart people can't call it anything but a theory.
Well, the very smartest people will realize that it's not even logical.
You know, many, many people believe Satan lies. Not just that. There's just, you know, thousands and thousands. Many people believe those lies, and they're just that. They're lies, and they're lies straight from the devil.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, any final word?
That was very deep.
It was.
And there's a lot to ponder in this lesson.
I think you're right, Helen.
I agree.
Takes some pondering.
Mm-hmm.
These books are just small. I mean, the second letter here is divided into three chapters, but you're right. This is deep stuff. Well, if there's no other word, we'll call it a day, and we'll be back next time for our final lesson. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Have you always wanted to memorize scripture, but just didn't know where to start? Nancy Baxter's book, Hid in My Heart, will not only get you started, but will guide you through an entire year of memorizing scripture. Hid in My Heart gives you 365 verses and a system to learn a verse each day, each week, or even each month. No matter which method you choose, you are memorizing scripture. Memory work is not just for kids. Hid in My Heart, available now at houseofjoyministries.com.
Well, ladies, that's our program for today. We hope you've enjoyed being with us as much as we've enjoyed being with you. We'll be back next week with Lesson 8 in our study of the Thessalonian Epistles, and we'll have another special program for you, so be sure and join us. We invite you to visit our website and let us hear from you through the contact information on that website, houseofjoyministries.com, or go to our Facebook page, House of Joy Ministries, and drop us a line. We'll be looking for it. Until next time, I'll leave you with these words. In all that you think, say, or do, to God be the glory.
How can I, your servant, talk to you, Lord, my strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. You are the vine, God, and we are the branches. Washed and caught every breath I took. Emmanuel, our God, who's with us, leading God us through your word, breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my. I am empty, Lord, come.